So how do we know a good idea is really a good idea for First Nations children and families? Or that that good idea actually works in the diverse and distinct First Nations communities all over this country? Let's dig a little deeper and chat with experts in the field of child well-being about what the evidence says, what are some of the myths, and what works when it comes to supporting First Nations children, young people, and their families. You're listening to Season 2 of Spirit Bearers Ask an Expert podcast.
Hi, everybody. We have a little bit of a different Ask the Expert segment happening today. My name is Molly Rasmussen from the Caring Society, and I'm actually going to be interviewing our host, Dr. Cindy Blackstock. We have some wonderful news that was just released last night about the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal case for First Nations children. Wonderful news about compensation. So I thought, who better to come on and discuss some of these things than Cindy herself. So hi, Cindy. Welcome.
Hi, Molly. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you on the other side.
Yeah, it's good to be on this side. I'm just not sure. I think it might be easier to be on the interviewee side than on the other side.
It might be.
We'll see.
Well, why don't we start by just giving a bit of an overview about what this decision means when it comes to compensation?
All right. So folks need to know that compensation is for those who are hurt by the Government of Canada's discrimination in child and family services and through its failure to properly implement Jordan's principle and define Jordan's principle. So the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal in 2019 ordered that Canada pay a minimum of $40,000 plus interest to each person who was hurt by Canada in the discrimination. Now, what happened there is that the Canada then appealed that decision. And then on the side, we had this class action move in. And the class action started to negotiate with Canada. And they tried to cover off all the people that were already entitled through the tribunal's decision. But it turned out that although, you know, there were some good things about that $20 billion settlement, it would have disentitled some of these people who had already had their compensation awarded to them. So we went back to the tribunal. The tribunal agreed that there needed to be a solution where nobody loses. These people have already been hurt by Canada and they were owed the compensation and they needed to get it. And so Chiefs and Assembly provided similar direction. And that led to an increase in the amount of compensation by $3.4 billion. And that went back to the tribunal and they said, okay, now no one's going to be left behind. Now it's okay.
So it certainly sounds like a great outcome after quite a long process as well. Is compensation the be-all, end-all, or what else needs to happen for kids to really feel justice?
You know, the survivors of residential school put it really well. If you look at the top calls to action, Molly, they're all about stopping the harms to this generation of kids. You know, many of us who have gone through something terrible, and we've had to kind of share our painful truths about that, do so because we don't want it to happen to anybody else. And that's what the survivors of residential school had. That's what this generation of people who are harmed want to. And so that's probably the more important part of the work, actually, is stopping Canada from discriminating against this generation of kids and making sure it doesn't happen again. And that work is still underway.
Right. So if the compensation or the final settlement agreement on compensation was endorsed at the tribunal, what has to happen next before folks can actually start receiving the money?
So I imagine this like the hurdles in the Olympics. So that's the first hurdle to clear. And then it has to go on to federal court for approval. Once it's at the federal court and a federal court approves the settlement, then begins the work of the class action lawyers. So just to be clear, that I know it's sometimes confusing, the Caring Society is involved in the tribunal human rights stuff, but we're actually not involved in the class action. So they will have the responsibility of working with communities to make sure there's adequate supports there when the funds roll out and to begin the process of figuring out how to send that money to the people that deserve it. That's likely not going to happen until the late summer, early fall. We should start to see some of the compensation roll out to communities.
Well, that's great. Is there anywhere where folks should check out just if they want to have a little bit more information or where they should follow along for updates?
right. So you can go on to our website, fnwitness.ca, to read the tribunal's letter decision. One of the other pieces is they wanted to make sure that the victims knew that this was now okay right away. But they have a little bit more to write for the legal part of it. So those reasons will come later on, but it'll just expand on the decision they have. So go to fnwitness.ca, read those rulings. Also watch on the federal court website for any updates. There is a website called fnchildcompensation.ca. However, it's quite dated and it actually has information about the old agreement. So hopefully in the not too distant future, that's going to be updated so that people can actually see what the agreement is, read it for themselves, and then to make a decision. Because you can, as a member of this class action, you can say to yourself, well, this is great. I'm going to get this, and this is fine for me, and I'm happy to be a part of the group. But you can also make a decision called opting out, which is you would rather preserve your rights to litigate personally against Canada. And people have right now until the middle of August to make that decision. So it's really important they have accurate information about what is in the settlement, who's going to affect, and what they might receive before they make that decision.
Absolutely. Well, we can definitely make a point to share some of those links alongside this episode. Is there any other information that you want to share or any final words about the decision?
I just really want to honor all the children and the families and to say that, you know, our promise at the Caring Society to you is to really do our very best to make sure it stops. And we also think that this is best for the country. Imagine a Canada where First Nations children don't have to recover from Canada's discrimination. This could be the generation to do it. So we need non-Indigenous Canadians to keep up their pressure on their members of Parliament, the members of the provincial legislature, and don't leave First Nations children behind.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Cindy. Great to hear from you.
Thank you for having me, Molly. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Spirit Bear's Ask an Expert podcast. Be sure to tune in for more episodes coming up where we'll do this all again and find out what works for kids. And of course, you can find us on Twitter at Caring Society or visit our website, fncaringsociety.com, where you can get all kinds of information about this topic and our future episodes.